Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Mark the 11th chapter, in verse 22, Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray," everybody say whatever things. Does anybody have any whatever things that they can ask God for? Any whatever things. This is Jesus talking, right? You believe Jesus? He's the way, the truth, the life, right? He's the truth. This is him talking. He says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and then God will see if he wants to give it to you or not. Nobody knows for sure with God. It's all a mystery. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he blesses you, sometimes he curses you. You just never know with God." Did Jesus talk that way? Did he talk that way? No, a lot of religious people talk that way, but Jesus never talked that way. Huh? No, what did he say? He said, "I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." You will have them. Not maybe, not wait and see. Gee, I sure hope so. He says, you will have them. Do you believe that? See, we just got to believe. That's what faith in God is. Believing what he says. Believing his promises. Can he be that good? Oh, yeah, he's that good. He's that good of a God. He's that good of a God. And nothing's impossible for him, right? But then Jesus takes it a step further. He says, all things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible with God, yes, but all things are possible to him that believes. So if you're a believer in him, all things are possible. Whatever you desire, whatever you ask for, whatever you want, you can have it. If you don't doubt in your heart, you can have it. Can you say amen? So we just got to get our hearts full of faith. Praise God. Get ourselves walking in the faith of God and stay in that place of faith. Not get over here where we're judging things according to the flesh, according to other people's opinions, or what happened to Aunt so-and-so. You know, well, they were good people and they prayed and they didn't. God didn't heal them. Well, God didn't do this or that for them. And we get our eyes on everything else except him. In order to stay walking in faith, we've got to keep our eyes on him. Keep our eyes on what he said. Keep our confidence in the word of God. Notice what God said. Now, I don't know about everybody else in the church world, but as for me and my house, we're going to believe what Jesus said. We're going to believe what Jesus said. We're going to stick with what Jesus said. And we're going to keep what he said more real to us than what other people are saying. Or what's happening in the world around us. Or even what the devil might be trying to say to us. How many people know there's a devil? There's a devil who wars against us, who tries to constantly get us over into doubt and unbelief and get us away from the word of God. Get us over where we're not walking by faith, but we are walking by sight. Going by our senses, going by everything else other than what God said. So we have to resist him. Resist him with the word of God and believe in our heart and speak with our mouths what we believed. Now Mary, the mother of Jesus, she wasn't the mother of God. She was the mother of Jesus because God didn't need a mother. God never needed a mother. But God became a man in the person of Jesus, and Mary facilitated that birth. She facilitated God being born in human form in the earth. So she was the mother of his humanity, not the mother of his divinity. All right? So she, but she, here she was, his mother. And why did God pick her? Because God saw that she had faith. Faith. Faith is what it takes to get the job done, to get God's job done in the earth, to get God's will done in the earth. It takes faith. It takes people that are attentive to God. And Mary had that faith. We see that again back here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. And in verse 28, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found..." Man, when you have favor with God, you don't have to be afraid of anything. And we got unmerited favor, don't we? Huh? We got grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. We got favor. "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Now Mary, she understands what this means right here. She understands that he will be given the throne of David. She understands that this angel is talking to her about giving birth to the long-awaited for Messiah. They've been waiting for this Messiah to come. And yes, he'll be great. They all know, all the Jewish people knew that. The Messiah would be greater than all the prophets. I mean, there were some amazing prophets you read about in the Old Testament. I mean, there was guys like Elijah that called fire out of heaven. I mean, Elisha carried out great exploits, miracles, signs, and wonders. How about Moses? Splitting Red Seas. All kinds of amazing, amazing miracles that these prophets of God walked in. But these Jewish people understood that the Messiah who was to come would be greater than all of them, for they were all just preparing the way for him. And here, she's got an angel standing here, speaking to her, that you are going to give birth to the promised Messiah that everybody's been waiting for. So did Mary know? Did she know what Jesus would do? Did she know what Jesus would be like, even though not specifics? Did she know the kind of power and glory that he would walk in? This amazing human being that would walk the earth. Did Mary know? Well, she sure should have, right? I mean, she's got an angel telling her. She's got an angel telling her about it. I mean, she doesn't have just somebody, you know, any old somebody. I mean, you got some angels standing there with the glory of God shining off of them, telling her, this is what's happened. This is what's going down, Mary. You're about to give birth to the Messiah. And she understands Messiah. She understands what this means. This isn't just a prophet. This is the Son of God. And it says that here in verse 35, "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" So, did Mary know? Oh, yeah, she knew. She knew that she knew that she knew right here. And it goes on, he tells her about her relative Elizabeth, how she also has conceived a child in her old age. So Mary, you know, she goes to visit with her relative Elizabeth. And the Bible says in verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days, went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spoke out. Everybody say she spoke out. With a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Now, Mary hasn't even said anything to her yet. This is all prophetic. The Spirit of God came on her. She was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she prophesied this, that Mary was the bearer of the Lord. That she was the mother of the Lord. So this is another confirmation to Mary of what the angel said and what she has already believed in her heart. Another confirmation. In fact, maybe she went down to Elizabeth's house just to confirm that, you know, this really happened, because she had this angel tell her about Elizabeth. So then she goes down there to see, maybe perhaps, you know, just to confirm this. She walks right into it. And she got her confirmation big time, right? Big confirmation. Prophetic utterance, the whole thing. Verse 44, Elizabeth goes on and says, "For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Notice that. There'll be a fulfillment of the things told her from the Lord. Why? Because she believed. She believed. What happened if she didn't believe? What happened if she said, "I can't believe this. I just can't believe this. It's just too good to be true. I can't believe it." Would there have been a fulfillment of the things told her? Huh? The things that God said to her, the things that God had promised. Would there have been a fulfillment? No, there wouldn't have been a fulfillment. See, she was accredited to bringing forth the fulfillment of these things because of her believing. Same thing today. We believe the word. We're believing the Lord. We believe the Lord. And the Bible tells us in the 1st or 2nd Peter, it tells us that the scriptures are a more sure word. It's more of a guarantee. This written word is more of a guarantee than an angel coming and speaking to us, or God's voice thundering from heaven to tell us something. That it's in writing. You know, you think about a contract, somebody can tell you something, but sometimes you look at it and say, "Well, we need to get that in writing." Right? When it's a big deal, you know, you're buying a house, buying some property or something like that. Let's get this thing in writing. You look like a great, nice guy. You're glowing a little bit. That's super duper. Love the halo. But hey, here's my pen. Let's get this thing in writing. Let's get this thing written down and really make it legal. Let's really make it sure. Let's really guarantee it. Well, God's word, his written word, is his guarantee to us of everything he said. And this word, the Bible tells you, is more sure. It's more of a guarantee than any other kind of visitation you might have from heaven to tell you something. What he tells you in this book, that's the way it is. Believe the Lord, and you'll see a fulfillment. You'll see a fulfillment of all that he's promised you. Just believe. I love that. Just believe. Because that's what Jesus would say. He would look at people in very, very, very bad situations, very difficult situations according to the natural, and he would say, "Only believe. Only. No matter what kind of mountain you might be facing, only believe, and it will be removed. Only believe. Speak my word, speak to the problem, and it will go. It will go. That mountain will become a plain. Only believe." All we got to do is believe. Trust in God. So Mary believed. What was the result of her believing? There was a fulfillment of those things which were told her. And then we see her believing in her expression. Notice the next verse. Verse 46, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. You know, when you got faith in God and you believe His promises, this awesome promise from Him, man, what's going to happen? You're going to have joy, right? Joy is going to chase sorrow out. Faith chases fear out. Joy comes. Peace comes. Excitement comes. Praise comes. You start praising and thanking God. You start rejoicing in God your Savior when He becomes real to you, when you really embrace His promises with your heart. Verse 48, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant, for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. So we see again, she knows that this is really happening. She believes, and she knows that she's giving birth to the Messiah, and that all future generations are going to always be talking about her and calling her blessed. And so she is magnifying, and she is rejoicing and praising God. However, the faith that we see she has here, she let go of right after the baby was born. Right after there was a fulfillment of what she was believing God for, she immediately got over into familiarity with her baby and began to look at everything according to the natural. You know, maybe perhaps, you know, she had a tough delivery. The Bible doesn't tell you, you know. But usually there's pain in childbearing. And so, you know, here you have this visitation from God. You're bringing forth the Messiah into the world. Surely you're not going to have any cramps. Surely there's not going to be any discomfort. And then, of course, you know about the old donkey ride to Bethlehem. That was a rough ride, right? I mean, some people just look outside and go, oh, it's drizzling. And meanwhile, they got a Lexus out in the driveway. Oh, we better stay in today. I don't think we should go to church. Huh? You know, they had to get on a donkey, a mule. And here they are going for miles to Bethlehem. And they finally get there, and the place is packed with people. There's crowds. And she's like, oh, I mean, she's about to give birth. This woman's hurting. No, she's married. She's hovering. No, she's hurting. See, a lot of people think, you know, that, well, if God's involved in it, oh, it's just going to be a flowery bed of ease. You know, everybody just goes through life just, you know, just floating on the clouds. If God's in it, I mean, you're floating, right? No, God's in it, but Jesus said in the world, you'll have tribulation. The earth is under a curse. There's still a devil in this world. And the Bible says we have to resist him, and we have to fight the good fight of faith. We got to fight to believe right. We got to fight to stay in faith, because there are things fighting against us to cause us to doubt that God is really in this and God is really here. There's all kinds of circumstances and things that would try to tell us God is not here. God is not with you. Look, if you had favor with God, would this be happening? Would you get finally to Bethlehem and there's no room in the inn? I mean, no vacancies. I mean, wherever you go, no vacancy. She's like, and they're believing God, you know, we need help. This baby was your idea. Help us, God. And it goes from bad to worse. And finally, you know, somebody says to her, well, we got a stable out here back. Somebody probably had some compassion, saw what she was going through. Said, we got a stable out here. See, they were very natural. They had to go through natural things. Faith doesn't eliminate the natural. It's called the supernatural. It's God's super on the natural, but it's still very natural. And you got to deal with all the natural stuff of this life as you walk your way through to the complete fulfillment of what God has promised. And you can't grow weary in well-doing. You got to stay with it. And so, you know, probably at this point, they're exhausted, tired, they got no place to sleep, she's hurting, they finally get out there in a stable, and you know, we make it look so pretty, but you don't know what it smelled like. It might have been very rough, you know. And then a food trough? I mean, something that a manger, let me say manger, a food trough? Maybe the pigs were just eating out of it. And now this is what they're going to lay the baby in. I mean, this is a rough delivery. These circumstances are tough. And she might have been in labor for hours. I mean, we don't know. Somebody says, no, not Mary. Yeah, very possible. So she finally brings forth the baby. And right after this baby's born, it's very interesting. We see a complete change in Mary. See a complete change here. Luke chapter 2. Baby's born. Angels come and speak to shepherds that are out in the field watching over their flocks at night. And these angels begin to announce to them the great things that have happened, that the Messiah has been born in Bethlehem. Angels, the Bible says in chapter 2, verse 15, so it was when the angels had gone away from the shepherds into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But, everybody say but. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Very interesting. Notice, then the shepherds heard about it. What did they do? Verse 17. They made widely known. They made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. They went out and they talked it. And then they come. And again, here Mary, she's seeing another sign. She's seeing the shepherds. She's hearing what they just experienced with the angels. And the Bible says Mary rejoiced and praised God with them. No, doesn't say that, does it? That's what she did with Elizabeth. But now in the case of the shepherds, she didn't say anything. She kept it all in her heart. Verse 19 again, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then we go on here in Luke 2, and then they take the child after 8 days to the temple to be circumcised according to Jewish custom. And when they walk in, there's a gentleman of great age in there named Simeon. And Simeon's been waiting for salvation. He's been waiting for God's salvation, waiting for the Messiah to come. And God had revealed to him, he was a prophet, and God had revealed to him that he would not see death until he saw the Messiah. And when Mary and Joseph walked in with the baby, and his eyes fell on that child, he knew immediately by the Spirit of God that this was the Messiah that he'd been praying and believing God for. And so he comes in, he prophesies. He begins to say all kinds of great things. And we jump down to verse 34. Then Simeon, after he says all these marvelous things, blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul that the thought of many hearts may be revealed. Now, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. And so this is a woman that had remained in the temple praying and believing God for the Messiah. God had these people strategically in the place of prayer to make sure that this birth took place. You know, that nothing was able to stop it. So they were praying and believing God. And she comes walking in. She sees the baby. She begins to rejoice. She prophesies. So Joseph and Mary, they're seeing all this unfolding in front of them. And so one thing after the other. Of course, we're not hearing anything from Mary and Joseph at this time. And then the next thing we see is 12 years later. Jesus is a young boy. And they go to Jerusalem to one of the feasts. They leave. And they think Jesus is with them. Then they discover he's not with them. And then they go searching for him, and after 3 days, they return to Jerusalem. So he's been gone a while now. They go to Jerusalem looking for him. Finally, probably out of desperation, they went to the temple and figured, let's just go to the temple and pray. Maybe there's a priest there. Maybe there's a prophet. Maybe somebody there can help us. And so they get to the temple, and they see Jesus there. And in verse 45, so when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So these are teachers of the scriptures and law, highly admired and looked up to men. They're completely amazed at Jesus. Verse 48, so when they, Joseph and Mary, saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. Hey, Mary, did you know? This is the Messiah. Chill out. It's going to be all right. Right? Didn't we just hear all that? Didn't we just hear from Simeon there's this great destiny on his life? We sought you anxiously. They were terrified. Verse 49. And he said to them, why is it that you sought me? Did you not know? Mary? Did you not know? Mary, did you know? That I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. In other words, no, Mary didn't know. That's what it just said. Mary didn't know. Jesus is puzzled. He's like, why are you so anxious? Why are you looking everywhere for me? Didn't you know that I must be about my father's business? Haven't you heard this? Wasn't this told you a few times? Don't you have this? But Bible says, no, they did not. Verse 51, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But, watch this, his mother kept all these things in her heart. There we see it again. She kept all these things in her heart. Now that might, you know, to some think, well, that's good. She kept all these things in her heart. But faith cannot remain in the heart. Faith must be expressed. Faith must be spoken out in order for it to stay alive. Because faith without works is dead or dying. Though few people have had faith, they allowed themselves to get over into familiarity, and they stopped declaring what they believed. It is so important for you and I to confess what we believe. We have to speak our faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 13, it says, and we having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. That's what's written in the Old Testament. And then he goes on and says, we also believe and therefore speak. It's not enough just to believe in your heart. You have to speak it with your mouth. We see it here in Romans chapter 10. This is a spiritual law. This is a part of faith. And we can't be afraid to speak up and declare our faith. Declare what we believe in our heart. You don't want to keep what God has done for you and what God is doing for you and what God has promised you in your heart. where all you're doing is speaking everything you see, speaking. Think about it. If you're not speaking what you believe in your heart, if you're just keeping it in your heart, but Mary kept it in her heart. If you're just like Mary, keeping faith in your heart, I believe, but you keep that in your heart. You don't praise God for it. You don't thank God for it. You don't talk about it. It becomes old to you. Then what are you speaking? Because we know people speak. People speak a lot. So if you're not speaking your faith that is in your heart, what are you speaking? Then you're speaking everything you see. You're speaking everything you feel. And all those things many times are completely contrary to what God says to you, to what you believe in your heart. See? So you can't just believe in your heart. You have to speak what you believe in your heart, or you're going to be found speaking all those things that are contrary to what's in your heart. And if you're speaking contrary to what's in your heart, then the cycle of faith is not complete. And there won't be a fulfillment of the things promised. And a lot of people don't see a fulfillment of the things promised just for that reason. And in fact, the things they were so excited about, Mary stood up and said, I'm blessed among women, and every generation's going to remember me. And she was just so excited and just full, and she's shouting it and declaring it, and then she stopped talking about it and instead started listening to other people talk about it. And then she just sat and thought about it and pondered on it, and she stopped speaking it. And next thing you know, we don't see it at all. And now she's anxious, she's fearful, and she comes and she takes Jesus so that he's subject to them and you never hear from him again till he's 30 years old. Whole lot of time goes past. I looked up that word amaze where it says, they were amazed. The word amazed there in the Greek literally means to strike with astonishment. To strike with astonishment. I thought, I wonder if they struck him with astonishment. I mean, they were mad. They were anxious. How have you done this to us? How could you do this to me? You're coming home, whack. You know, they really put Proverbs to work there about not sparing the rod. Possibly. And it's like I said, we don't hear from him again. But she began to not believe. She began to doubt. She began to walk according to her senses. Because she wasn't expressing her faith. She was just expressing her senses. And we see over here in Mark's gospel, it gets worse. But it's a great lesson to learn. Mark chapter 3. In verse 20, Jesus is out doing miracles, signs, wonders. You know, the kind of things that were prophesied about, right? Verse 20 says, and the multitude came together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. But when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. Now his own people, now he's got crowds of people around him, so many people, there's not even room enough to eat, okay? And they're all listening to his words. And then it says, but when his own people, now the own people there, that's the translation of the New King James, but it's talking about his family. In fact, I got a couple of the translations, the CSB translation. It says it this way, when his family heard this, they set out to restrain him because they said, what did they say? He's out of his mind. Can you imagine this? This is his family. This includes Mary. And you'll see that for certain in just a little bit. They think he's out of his mind. He's doing the works of the Messiah. They think he's out of his mind. It's the CEB translation. When his family heard what was happening, they came to take control of him. They were saying, he is out of his mind. He's out of his mind. The CEV translation. When Jesus' family heard what he was doing, they thought he was crazy and went to get him under control. How does this happen? How does this happen? How does this happen to this, this great woman who had faith. Now think about it, this is the family. So we know that Mary, after Jesus was born, he was born a virgin birth, but then after he was born, Joseph and Mary ended up coming together and had other children. They had several other children, the Bible talks about. And none of them believed. None of them had a clue who Jesus was. Which means Mama wasn't talking about it at home. She didn't even tell the other kids, his brothers and sisters, according to the flesh. They had no idea. Look over here. So it goes on. Let's see. So that was verse 21. So the family came. Then it says in verse 22, and the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub. And by the rule of the demons, he casts out demons. This is not a fun day for Jesus, okay? I mean, he's out there ministering. He's flowing with the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. His family comes down. They go, he's out of his mind. He's crazy. They want to come down. They want to get him. They want to get control of him. They can't get to him because of the crowd. They're trying to get to him. Meanwhile, he's standing there, and he's got these religious leaders saying, he's got a devil. He's the ruler of demons. That's who he is. This is not fun. Ministry's not always fun. If you look at things according to the flesh. Thank God according to the Spirit, though. It's good. God's with us. Verse 26, Jesus is talking about to the teachers, and so this is all still in the same time frame. Verse 31, then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. So in verse 21, it says, his own people heard about this. They went out to lay hold of him. Now, verse 31, they have arrived there. And then it breaks it down who the relatives, who the family members are. And it says his brothers and his mother, that would be Mary, came and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him, Jesus! Jesus! And the multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. But he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brothers? And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother. So who's his mother? Those who do the will of God. Apparently Mary wasn't doing it. She wasn't a doer of the word. She was a doer in the beginning of the story, but she's not now. Why? Because she has not given expression to her faith. She has just raised him according to the natural. She is judging him according to the natural. And she isn't even talking about the promises. And so now the natural circumstances have just totally overshadowed any faith that she had in who he was, who he is as the Messiah. All the natural circumstances that she has emphasized has completely overshadowed her faith. So that we don't even see her faith anymore. Her faith isn't even evident. And then over in Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, Jesus comes to his own hometown. He's been preaching. People have been getting healed and delivered. He comes to his own hometown. And the Bible says he could not there do any mighty works, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people with minor ailments. And he marveled because of their unbelief. He marveled at their unbelief. And he said that a prophet is not without honor except in his own country amongst his own family, relatives. A prophet is not without honor except among his own family members. They're the ones that even though other people are experiencing miracles, here in his own hometown, you know, there's no faith. And those people got so angry at Jesus, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to throw him off the cliff that their city was built on. I mean, they wanted to kill him. They were so angry with him that he was actually insinuating that he was the Messiah. Now, this is his hometown. This is where he grew up. In fact, they even said, isn't Mary his mother here and Joseph and his brothers? See, they never said anything about this. so that even his hometown didn't believe in him. And then over in John 7, verses 2 through 5. In fact, I'll just turn there real quickly. John chapter 7. Jesus has been out. Miracles have been happening. Incredible things. People are believing. But here he is at home. And there's another feast coming up in Jerusalem. And the Bible says in verse 2, now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. I mean, can you imagine this? He's doing these things. Miracles are happening. The dead are being raised. There are so many things going on that John says that the books couldn't contain. If everything was to be written down of all that Jesus did, he supposed that the world wouldn't be able to contain the books of the things that he did. I mean, miracles, amazing thing. Here's his family, man, the inner core, right? And they're saying, if you do these things, if you do these things, show yourselves to the world. For even his brothers did not believe in him. Brothers didn't believe. Why? Why? Because Mary, for one, kept all these things in her heart. She never shared it. I wonder how many people are around us in our life, at work, and where we go in life, and maybe even some relatives and things, and they don't have the foggiest idea about Jesus. They don't have the foggiest idea about him, and there you are. Oh, man, full of the Holy Spirit. Someone that raises their hands in church. Someone who shouts his praises. But then when we go out of the church, we become like mere men. This is not good if we're going to see God in manifestation in our life. If we're going to see God in demonstration in our life, if we're going to see God on display in our life, if we're going to see a fulfillment of the promises of God in our life, friend, we cannot be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, we cannot be ashamed. Jesus said over in Matthew, the 10th chapter, Matthew 10, verse 32, he says, therefore, whoever confesses, everybody say confesses. See, that speaks. Confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. If we're not talking about him, then aren't we denying him? Right? He says in another place, he says, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. But if we're excited about him, if we're excited about him and we're not ashamed of him, then he won't be ashamed of us. And over in Romans chapter 10, did we look at it? We didn't look at it. Romans, the 10th chapter. Again, looking at this spiritual law that you can't just keep these things in your heart. Verse 10, Romans 10:10. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Can't just believe it in your heart. You got to speak it with your mouth. Now, Mary believed, and she spoke. As long as she did that, praise God, she saw a fulfillment of the things God promised. But when she just kept these things in her heart and stopped speaking, stopped confessing, stopped declaring, stopped talking about it, just pondered it, pondered it. You know, it's very important when you leave here today, don't just ponder what you heard. If you heard from heaven today, if you heard from God's word, if God is taking what is being preached today and he has spoken something in your heart and you're seeing something right now, how many want to continue to see it? Start speaking it. Start telling somebody about it. Go tell somebody about it. Man, wasn't that awesome? Did you see what I saw? Did you hear what I heard? And sometimes people didn't hear what you heard. You know? Sometimes people hear different things. That's why Jesus said, take heed how you hear. People hear different things many times, depending on where we're at in life. People are hearing different things. And so, but God will speak to you a word in season out of the word that's being ministered. He'll speak something to you that you need to hear this morning. What are you going to do about it? Man, that was nice. Let's go get some pizza. Isn't this pizza great? This pizza's good. This is the best pizza. This beats anything I ever had in New York. And we'll go on about the nagging pizza. And meanwhile, we just received spiritual pizza. We just received bread from heaven. Come on. We just received some serious spiritual food and revelation, but we're not going to talk much about that. We're going to talk about all the carnal, natural things. Guess what happens when you do that? You end up losing what you got. You lose what you have. Either you use it or you lose it. That really is how it works. To the measure you use, it will be measured back to you, Jesus said. The measure you use. So you get it, you use it. If you get it, you don't use it, you don't get any more. And even what you have, you begin to lose. That's what he said. Very important. We have to understand these things. So important. Start speaking the right things. Start speaking the right things. Speak in line with the word of God. Speak what you want. Speak what God has promised. Declare your faith in him. Sometimes you shout it. Sometimes you just talk it. But bless God, put it in your mouth. And be excited about it. Put some emotion into it. I love how, you know, places of worship, you know, you raise your hand in church and it's like people get so uptight. The church that I grew up in, you didn't move in that church. I mean, when I was a little kid, I tried to crawl around on the pews as a kid in here. You know? You didn't move. You stood where you were supposed to stand, you sat where you were supposed to sit, you stood where you were supposed to stand, sat where you did. You know, you do all this. You get in, you get out, you get in, you be quiet, then you go out, that's it. You know, that's why as a kid growing up, I didn't really appreciate church all that. I didn't really care for it. You know? Go in there, and it's like in church, you throw your emotions out. You throw your feelings out. You save that for the world. You save that for the ball game. You save that for this, you save it for that. You don't express any of that in here. Friend, that's demonic. That's how the devil would have it. He would have our mouths shut. So we, like Mary, don't speak what we believe so that it dies and is dead in our life, inactive and not doing anything. We got to break out of that. Say amen? Can I get a witness? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I figure if they do it in heaven, we might as well do it on earth. Might as well do it on earth. They get excited there, you might as well get excited here. I am excited. But this is church. No. Express your excitement. Hallelujah. I mean, Mary, she's talking to Elizabeth about it, Zacharias, and they're having a praise fit over at the house. Now here she is, her own kids that she's bringing up. She's not telling them a thing. There's no praise going on. Nothing's happening. And none of them have faith, including her. For with the heart, one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. See, you got to do it God's way. This is God's way of doing things. Can't just have it in your heart. You got to speak it with your mouth. John chapter 12, verse 42. It says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, the religious people, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. So they didn't want to get in trouble among the people in the synagogue. See, that was more important to them. See, they didn't want to not be accepted by the people around them. So they believed, but it says, but they did not confess him. And the Bible says believing in the heart is only halfway there. Confession with the mouth is what brings about salvation. And the word salvation means deliverance from every evil thing. That's what it means. Look it up in the Greek. Deliverance from every evil thing. I like deliverance from every evil thing, don't you? You want deliverance from every evil thing? Then praise God, speak up and say yes, amen, and begin to declare the promises of God. Hallelujah. Declare the truth. And that's how we'll see the truth come to pass in our life. Amen? Amen. Now you come to the end of it all, and Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he appeared to 500 people and so forth and so on, and we see there in that upper room on the day of Pentecost that Jesus' mother Mary is there, and she is a believer. She is a believer. Thank God. You know, she got it. She got back to her faith in the end. But she was out of faith throughout his whole life growing up. And his brothers, some of his brothers even wrote some epistles there and became great, great men of faith. These men that did not believe in him. So there's a good ending to their story. But their story could have been a whole lot better. They could have been right in the middle of the action. They could have been a major part of Jesus' ministry. They could have had their eyes open and been right in there, and God could have been using them during that time in a mighty way to help Jesus accomplish what God the Father had called him to do in the earth. They could have been one of his disciples. I don't want to miss out, do you? I don't want to miss out. So let's get vocal this Christmas. And let's stay vocal. Let's turn it up. Let's turn up our witness. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Yes, I go to that church over there. Yes. Yes, I'm a part of those people. Yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, I believe in the power of God. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. We declare these things. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me this morning.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.